Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. You know, it seems like lately there's been a lot of things going on that aggravate people, and I've had a kind of a aggravating week, you know, and I know we all have those at times, and I'd like to apologize for Sunday school if I said more than I should have in there. Sometimes I do that. I try not to, but sometimes I say more than I should at times. And, I just feel like sometimes, you know, this is a rough time for people right now. It's a time when sometimes you just, there's just more going on than what you want to deal with. But, you know, the Lord's mindful of all of that, and he's in control of it all. And, you know, these light afflictions, and I'm going to call them afflictions, are but for a moment, and they work for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. You know, and they do. Don't feel like it when you're in the middle of it sometimes, but it doesn't make no difference what we feel like, because we don't go by feelings, we go by what the Holy Spirit says and speaks to our hearts. You know, I'm gonna share this with you a little bit, and this should be a little bit humorous, but I want you to know this isn't the way that I feel about anything, okay? So, and the thing I'm gonna read you today is called counseling, okay? And it says, not every pastor enjoys counseling, but others by skipping town, and how can you decrease the demand? Here, based on spacious clinical research, are dozens of methods to guarantee to keep counseling off of your to-do list. Now, this is not me, so but I just thought it was kind of funny. And one of the first things is to recite tales of people who are a lot worse off and call the counselee a crybaby. That'll make them not come back for any more counseling if you do that. And the next one says, engage the counselee's mother-in-law as a co-therapist. It says, don't put a door on your office. And it says, sing songs such as put on a happy face and don't worry, be happy to the counselee. Because usually that ain't what they want to hear, you know. And step out of the office and start laughing uproariously. That'll make them never come back if you do that one. Tell the counselee that although you can't figure out a solution to the problem, you'll bring it up in the next sermon on Sunday and see if anybody has an idea. Never want to do that. Casually catch up on your reading while counselees bear their deepest problems. You don't want to do that either. Tell the counselee you are videotaping the session to replay on the local cable program, Candid Clergy. They'll never come back for counseling after that. Put a bumper stick on your car. I'd rather not be counseling. Refer them to a helpful article in your favorite professional journal, the National Enquirer. Okay. And suggest counseling by fax machine. In front of the counselee, phone your spouse and ask for his or her opinion on what to do. Those are just some things that you don't want to do, or you can do if you don't want to ever counsel anybody again. Thank God I don't have to do a lot of counseling. I do some. But I just thought those were kind of funny, you know. And I'm going to give you some... I'm not going to do it now. I'll wait till after I share the message. My message today is, the title to it is, A New Thing or the Status Quo. And the word, and a lot of people probably know what the word status quo means. It means existing state. So either you can have a new thing or you can have an existing state. Just stay in the same state you're in, you know, status quo. And I'm going to read you this out of Ecclesiastes. And, you know, I had to, you know, I've read Ecclesiastes over the years, but I've had to look at Ecclesiastes and try to figure out exactly what does Ecclesiastes mean. You know, I had to look up a definition for it. And it means one who addresses an assembly. That's what it means, Ecclesiastes. And I'm just going to read down through this, and this is about 19 verses. And this was Solomon, who was considered to be one of the wisest men that ever was ever on the face of the earth. But I'm going to tell you that there was one who came who was wiser than him, way wiser, and that was Jesus. It says, in the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labors which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to its place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns about unto the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, and whether they return again. You know, you ever think about that? There's continuous water pouring into the sea, but it never really overflows. You know? All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eyes is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now, this is the wisdom of men now here. Listen to this. No, okay, natural wisdom. Is there anything, therefore, it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all things. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, and this is where he went astray, if you want to get right into it. I communed with my own heart. He should have been communing with God. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases in knowledge increases in sorrow. Now, that's the wisdom of man. That's not really the wisdom of God. And, you know, he kind of told on himself when he said, I communed with my own heart. He should have been communing with God. And, you know, Solomon started off in the right vein because he originally asked that God would give him understanding and wisdom, basically, to come in and out of such great people And God did give him tremendous wisdom, but he also went into tremendous folly. And he began to bring in all these concubines and all these people from foreign nations and so on and so forth. And after a while, he began to build idols to their gods to appease the ladies that he got together with. And, you know, God still kind of winked at Solomon and let him go for a long time. But I want you to know, and Solomon was very wise. He was wise to the extent that people from all around the world came to hear his wisdom, you know. He was an extremely wise man. But what he really came to realize is that it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. And, you know, the natural wisdom is a great thing, and it can take you to a lot of high places, but also can take you to a lot of low places also. And, you know, so basically what he was saying is there's nothing new under the sun. But I want to tell you that, like I read you at the beginning of the title for my sermon today, new thing or status quo, and status quo means existing state. So you can stay in your existing state, or you can ask God to begin to take you into a new thing. And I'm going to read you this, and this is out of Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And, you know, I feel like a lot of Christians are having wilderness experiences where you feel like, gosh, I'm out here. What, Lord, what in the world's going on? You know, I don't know which direction to go in some of these things. And sometimes we're in that kind of a situation where we feel like we're in the wilderness, you know. But I want you to know he's going to make a way in the wilderness if you'll trust him. And he'll make rivers in the desert. A lot of us have had dry places where we just say, God, I need you to just pour more water in, more water of your word into me. I need you to just refresh me. You know, we all need a refreshing at times. But a lot of times, if we continue in the status quo, in other words, in the existing state, without wanting to go farther, then guess what? We're going to stay in that status quo. We're going to stay in that existing state. And we need to begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I want all there is that you've got for me. And I want to move on into the deeper things. I want to move on into everything that you've got for me. And it might mean you having to trek through the wilderness a little bit. It might even mean you having to trek through some dry places a little bit. But I'm going to tell you what, he'll be with you in the midst of it. He'll cause water to come out of the rock. The rock that followed them in the Old Testament, we know that Scripture tells us it was Jesus Christ. And that rock is not outside of you out here somewhere. It's inside of you. He is that rock. He's right inside of you. He's not a God that's afar off. And in Jeremiah 31, 22 through 34, and this is out of the Message Bible. I like this. It says, "How long will you flitter here and there indecisive? How long before you make up your fickle mind? God will create a new thing in this land. A transformed woman will embrace the transforming God." And you know, when Scripture talks about a woman, it's talking about the church, and it's talking about your soul also. How long? It's basically saying, how long will you allow yourself to be in this fickle position of mind and become a transformed woman and will embrace the transforming God? It says, "A message from God, O God of the angel armies. When I've turned everything around and brought my people back, the old expression will be heard on streets. God bless you, O true home, O holy mountain." And like I told you, the things when it talks a few weeks ago, when it talks about those kind of things, it's talking about you. You are that holy mountain. You are the spiritual Israel. It says, "All Judah's people, whether in town or country, will get along just fine with each other. I'll refresh tired bodies. I'll restore tired minds. Don't you want a refreshing in this new coming year? Don't you want God to refresh you? Don't you want him to pour the water of his word upon you? Don't you want him to pour the oil of his spirit upon you in a greater way? And you know, a lot of times we're staying in that tired place because we aren't seeking him enough. We aren't saying, Lord, you know, I've got to have you above all these other things. We let things begin to get in our way. And I know this week, I've had a real hectic week this week. You know, it's been kind of aggravating. And, you know, I can't say that it hasn't aggravated me because it has. But I'm going to tell you what, I know what I have to do to get out of that situation, you know. And it says, I will restore tired souls. Just when I woke up and looked around, what a pleasant and satisfying sleep. Be ready. The time is coming. God's decree, when I will plant people and animals in Israel and Judah, just as a farmer plants seed. And you know, I want you to know, you know, Rich was sharing a dream that he had back there this morning. And I wouldn't mind you even coming up and sharing that if you don't mind. If it's up to you, I mean, but come on up if you want to. If you don't want to, it's okay. I mean, you know. Okay. Yeah.
It was just, you know, dreams are kind of strange sometimes, and it, you know, it was just one of those dreams where we were having a meeting, and all the men of Wings were there as a men's meeting, and I don't know why, but I met Oscar on the street. We walked in together, and it was just a room full of men. It wasn't in the church either. And there were five men that I'd never seen in my life in the back of the room, and they broke into praise and worship that was just heavenly. I mean, it was just so beautiful. Actually broke down just listening to him because it was just such a heavenly presence there. And then two people came up to me I haven't seen in 40 years. That one's a pastor now, I heard, but I haven't talked to him. And another one is someone, I don't even know where he is. I think he's in Hawaii. But I guess that's, yeah, I was supposed to pray for them. But, I mean, it's just, it was a wonderful dream. So, you know, and I don't normally remember my dreams, but that was the dream. So,
praise the Lord. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, folks. You know, I've asked the Lord. I said, Lord, how long is it going to be before you ever bring people in here? You know, and I'm not a people person. You know, I could speak to 20. I can speak to 100. I can speak to 1,000. It doesn't make any difference to me anymore. I've come to that point, you know. And I know whoever God has here today is the people that are supposed to be here today, you know. I have no problem with that. I understand that. I understand that God's in control of all those things. But I thought that was wonderful how that those five broke into a wonderful praise. And, you know, we've had prophetic word after prophetic word after prophetic word in the past 40 years or 50 years in this church about praising God. And we sing songs about praising, but sometimes it seems like it's so hard to get the people to praise God, to really let go and praise God. You know, if you was at a football game and the Bengals scored a touchdown, you'll paint your face with stripes on it. You'll jump up and down. You'll throw beer at the opposing team. You'll do all kind of stuff. But you know what? When people come in here, a lot of times it's hard to get them to just break into a praise. I'm going to tell you what, he inhabits the praises of his saints. When we begin to break loose and really praise God and really begin to just worship him, he'll lift us up into realms that we've never even imagined before. And he will begin to reveal things to us that are so beyond what our natural mind can begin to even comprehend. And I just want you to know, he said, just when I woke up and looked around, what a pleasant and satisfying sleep. Awake thou that sleepest. His word declares that so many times to us that we need to wake up. We need to begin to acknowledge him. Be ready. The time is coming. God's decree, when I will plant people and animals in Israel and Judah as a farmer plants seed. And you know why a farmer plants seed? So he can have an abundant harvest. And you know, God wants to bring forth an abundant harvest, you know. And that abundant harvest is not just bodies, but it's people who come to the knowledge of who and what they are in Christ and who and what he is in them, you know. And it says, in the same way that early I was relentlessly pulled down and tore down and took apart and demolished, so now I'm sticking with them as they start over building and planting. You ever feel like God's been tearing you down some? You feel like he's been pulling you apart a little bit here and there? Well, I tell you, I do. And I'll tell you what, it's not fun when that's happening. But I'll tell you what, as it happens, it's because he's going to do a greater thing in you, a greater thing. And it says, when the time comes, you won't hear the old proverb anymore. Parents ate the green apples and their children got the stomach ache. No, each person will pay for his own sins. You eat green apples, you're the one who gets sick. That's right. The time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant with Israel and Judah. He's not, you're Israel, you're Judah. Okay? Says, I won't be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, even though I did not part. I did my part as their master, God's decree. This is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the times come. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts and be their God, and they will be my people. Okay? My next scripture here is Romans 9, 6 through 8. Not as though the word of God hath taken no effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as seed. 1 Peter 1:22 through 23. Seeing that we have purified your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And that means hotly. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, it has to be through faith. Faith is the founding factor. Every man is dealt a measure of faith. You know, a lot of people wonder, well, how in the world is anybody out there who doesn't know the Lord, you know, going to be saved? I'm going to tell you what, they've been dealt a measure of faith. And all it takes is a little bit of the water and a little bit of the soil of the love of God to touch them. And buddy, that seed of faith will begin to sprout up and it'll begin to grow. And it'll grow into a tree that'll cover the whole earth. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. You can't make this happen. Only God can make this happen. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. You know, Brother Eddie told a story one time years ago about them going into one of the tombs over in Egypt that where a pharaoh had been buried for a couple thousand years. Long time. And there was seed in there. And they took that seed out and they stuck it in the soil. And they watered it. And guess what? It grew. Because the life of God was in that seed. And I got news for you. Every man is dealt a measure of faith. Every man has that seed of the Word of God in them. I don't care how mean they are. I don't care how evil they are. I don't care what they've done or what they haven't done. They have that seed inside of them. And all they need is a little bit of the water of God, the Word of God, and a little bit of the soil, which is the love of God. And buddy, you let that happen, and the water gets poured on that soil, on that love, and then all of a sudden, and that's what's kind of missing a little bit out there in the church today. They're not talking about the love of God as much as they should. You know, they're talking about, a lot of times, about the judgment of God and about the condemnation of God, and that he's going to really do this and he's going to do that and he's going to do all these bad things. Well, I got news for you. That isn't what it's all about. They came to Jesus one time and they said, Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven, you know, to destroy what they perceived as enemies? He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. The only fire he's ever going to call down from heaven is the fire that's in you that will burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in somebody else's life. And you're all ministers. You're all flames of fire. And I got news for you. He'll burn up that wood, hay, and stubble in other people's lives. And it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it has to be through faith. You can't, without faith, it's impossible to please him, you know. And it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And what Romans 12:3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And there it is. He's dealt it to every man. He, God, does the watering of the seed. Sometimes he'll use you. Sometimes he can pour that water on them directly. I can tell you that, you know, and I know, you know, I could tell you the testimonies of Jim and some of these other people sitting out here, myself. I don't remember exactly. Rich, you got saved at a real young age, didn't you, kind of? Oh, you didn't? Okay. 22, okay. But God got a hold of you. He reached down and got a hold of you, right? And he did that with me. I wasn't in church. I hadn't been in church in years and years and years. And he reached down and got a hold of me at home, you know. And I tell you what, I got so miserable I couldn't stand myself until I gave my life to the Lord. And once I made that commitment, then he began to pour the water of his word upon me. And I tell you what, when he pours the water upon you, it'll grow. And in Jeremiah 31:34, it says, they no longer go around, and this is out of the Message Bible, setting up schools to teach each other about God. They'll know me firsthand, the dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned. God's decree. Wow, I love that. I love that. Never tell yourself, I'm not smart enough to know the things of God. Because I tell you what, it don't depend on you. It depends on him. Now, I'm going to share this scripture with you. Well, before I share the scripture, I'm going to read you this. And this is kind of supposed to be funny, but I don't think it's that funny because I think a lot of people are like this. And this is New Year's Day, and this is someone, here are some bold prophecies for the year ahead. Chuck Swindoll will author a best-selling book. He does that all the time. significant church-state issues will be debated in the nation's court. That happens all the time. The head of a major parachurch group will name a family member to succeed him. It's always a family member, you know. A leading televangelist will appeal for money. You think so? You think that prophecy might come true? A new, finally understandable vision, a version of the Bible will be published. There's a new one comes out every time you turn around. Oh boy, they'll understand this one. No, they won't. Not unless God begins to open it up, and he's going to open it up. And a presidential candidate will try to curry favor among the Christians. Don't ask me how I do it. Don't ask me how I know all these things, because they happen continuously. Happens all the time. But those are not really the prophecy. Here's a prophecy I'm going to give you for next year, and this is what I feel like really is going to happen next year. In Hosea chapter 6, come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn. Has he torn anything in your life? Is he tearing anything in the lives of people around you? Do you see a lot of people getting torn up? I do. He has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. And the word there for sight literally means in his face. And when we see him as he is, the word declares that we shall be just like him. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. Ever tried to stop the morning? Can't do it. Can't do it. It's coming whether you want it to or not. You know, a lot of times if I was up late and had to go to work, and I used to get up pretty early to go to work, and I had to get up early in the morning to go to work, I was hoping, well, I hope that morning don't come around very quick. And the more I wanted it to hold off, the quicker it seemed like it got there. It seemed like you just laid your head on the pillow sometimes, and boom, there was that sunlight. There was the morning. Can't stop the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and the former rain. There's going to be an abundance of rain poured out, an abundance of rain. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain, unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed you out by prophets, and I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgments are as light that goeth forth. For I desire mercy and sacrifice and knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But I want you to know, it's not about what you do, it's about what he does and what he's already done. He's already done it. But I want you to know that he's going to come forth as the morning in you and in me, if we'll just hang in there and keep trusting him. He's going to come forth whether we do it or not. But I'll tell you what, that's the word I'm going to tell you that's for next year for you. And it's actually, his mercies are new every morning. It happens every day, day by day. But I want you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love. And he's going to begin to show the world. He's going to take the veil off of you eventually and begin to show the world what's going on out there. And they're going to come to the brightness of your rising. And they're going to begin to start saying, God is in you of a truth. And not a lot of times now they might make fun of you. If you tell them some of the deeper things that God's shown you, they might even call you a heretic or say you're whatever. But I just want you to know that it doesn't make any difference what they say. It's what God says that matters. And he's going to begin to do a new thing. And I know most of you guys probably remember the song we used to sing, It Is a New Thing That I Do. Do you guys remember that song? Let's stand up and let's just sing it. we'll do a cappella. Forgive my singing voice. It's not the greatest in the world. Okay, I'll lead it. It is a new thing that I do, and I will show it unto you, and I will take you by the hand. Fear not, for you will understand. The former things have passed away. It is the dawning of the day. Rejoice, rejoice, sing a new song. Oh, praise the Lord, the day has come. Let's sing it one more time. It is a new thing that I do, and I will show it unto you, and I will take you by the hand. Fear not, for you will understand. The former things have passed away. It is the dawning of the day. Rejoice, rejoice, sing a new song. Oh, praise the Lord, the day has dawned. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to come to the realization of what you're wanting to do in us, Lord, that you're wanting the day start to rise in our hearts with healing in its wings. You're wanting us to begin to speak forth even a word of life to those around us and to be even a light to those around us, Father. For you're the light that lights every man that comes into the world. But sometimes they've tried to turn the switch off. And, Father, you can't really turn off the switch of the sunlight, S-O-N light. But Father, I just ask you that you would help us to go forth as this new year comes upon us with a new determination to seek your face, a new determination to move and flow with you, and to begin to claim what your word declares, that you're going to do this, but we're co-laborers together with you, and you're going to use some of us to help do some of these things. But Father, I just give you all praise. I give you all glory, and I give you all honor. I ask you to bless your people in this new and upcoming year, that there would just be a new determination to follow on to know you. And your word declared there in Hosea that if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is as the morning. And Father, we know that your going forth cannot be stopped. Thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all praise and we give you all glory. And I ask you to just bless your people and bless them mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.